Good morning. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the home group Bible study will be held at Neil and Avril's home at 7:30 p.m. On Friday, the church cafe will meet 10 a.m. in the church hall and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by John Pang at 11 a.m. and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. I have got the copies of the Word for Today, Bible notes, daily Bible notes. If I haven't given you one, they're on the table at the back out there. So if you want one, just take one if I've missed you. As this is a sharing service, I haven't put my name down, but I'm just going to say something because I'm here and you can't kick me off now. As many of you know, Lynn is in hospital. She had an operation cancelled on Friday. So now she's got to wait till Tuesday. And the operation is, because the tumour's pressing on the vessel that drains her brain, she's getting sickness and she can't walk, and that's why. So they're going to have to fit a stent, a bypass of some kind, from her head to her chest. So that's what she's waiting for. So they've kept her in, because if they send her home, she'll have to go back in the system again. And we don't want to sit for nine hours in A&E again. So thank you for the prayers. It's so comforting when you're in the hospital and you're worried that, you know, people have said to me, we're praying for you, and it's nice to know that, and I know that prayers will be answered. So on that note, I'll hand over to Helen and thank you.
He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
And so following on from these words, our first song is, The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free, Walk in the Light. I think you'll all know it. It's easy to catch on to if you don't.
Thank you.
And now Audrey's all set ready with a microphone at the back, and she's going to lead us in prayer this morning. So, Audrey, I'll leave it with you.
Let us pray. Walking with Jesus, let us pray. As this, as the theme of our service is walking with Jesus. And I would like to read the words of the poem Footprints to you so that you can listen carefully and realise just what these words mean. One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with God, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and one to the other God. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at times along the path of life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned God about it. God, you said that once I decided with me, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I needed you most, you would leave me. God replied, my precious child, I love you and I would never, never leave you during your times of trials and suffering. When you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And these words echo a lot of the words that we shall hear during our service. And if we listen very carefully and prayerfully to those words, at the end of the poem, as we sit quietly, let us think of our own walks with Jesus. They will all be different, but it is the same Jesus who walks with us, guiding and helping us along the way. Our paths are so different, but we all have that loving Jesus walking with us. And there are times when we do not acknowledge him, but he will always still be there holding on to us, never leaving us. So if we just have a couple of minutes silent prayer, thinking about our own roads and about the way Jesus is always with us, that he would never let us go. There are many things that we need to bring to you to prayer, Lord. We live in a very unsettled world with wars and conflicts taking place in various countries. And there are floods and and all the storms and earthquakes. All these things often happen in our world and bring such destruction with them. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you might intervene at the time when you can and put an end to these stressful matters. We hear of stabbings and shootings and so many incidents that take place that they need to be stamped out with your help. And then we think of our own church, Lord, where your word is preached, and that people coming into the church will leave with a message from you. And there are people in our congregation who cannot get to church due to illness or disabilities. And we ask that they may know your presence, Lord, and that know that we are thinking about them. And today we pray especially for the Porter family. I did not know until I got here that Lynn hasn't had her operation, and I had put down to remember that to ask that you would take care of her during her operation and just help her to feel better afterwards. They're all walking at this time along a very difficult road, different from our own. But we pray for Lynn that she will have her operation on Tuesday and that that may result in her feeling better. And that and that Stuart and his family will all know that we are praying for them and looking out for them. So bring her back to us feeling better, Lord, we pray. So, Lord Jesus, we pray to you, asking that you have heard these prayers and that they have been that you have been with us as we walked with you along this road today. We pray now, Lord Jesus, as we walk further along the roads before us, that we may know your presence, and pray, Lord, now for the rest of our service. Amen.
Amen.
When we set off this morning, the management checked to make sure I got my glasses and everything, and so I was prepared, as long as I got my paperwork as well. Good morning, anyway, and our hymn this morning, next hymn, is number 200, I Am the Bread of Life.
Thank you.
This is the time when we come for communion together. This is a time in which we can come together in reflection of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and was raised from the dead to be our living Saviour and for the forgiveness of our sins. We welcome all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all welcome to join in the sacrament this morning. But those who do not wish to partake of the bread and wine, just allow the service to come past you. We should, have a prayer now. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we can come to your table in remembrance of your love for us and all you have done for us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made so that we as sinners can repent and rejoice in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as our living Saviour. Have mercy on us, Lord, and forgive us the things that we do and say, and those which are against your will. But help us to live our lives according to your teaching and to show our faith in you. Amen. The reading from Matthew's Gospel. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Could the servers please come forward? Take and eat the bread as you receive it. It's a symbol of the body of Christ broken for you on the night he was betrayed. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus gave the wine to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you on the cross, with my blood shed for you." Take the wine and keep so we can all drink together. Drink this in remembrance of Christ's blood that was shed for us on the cross for our salvation. Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Father, we give thanks that we're able to come to your table and for all you've done for us and provided for us. We know that we're not worthy of your love for us, but it's available for all who come to you. Help us in our daily lives to give witness to you so that others may know your love, Lord. And we pray for all those who are taking part in arranging the service this morning. Amen.
Morning, everyone. So Helen's asked if I could sing for you all this morning. It's been a while since I've actually stood up the front of church and sang in front of everyone. So I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know if you can tell. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm just going to go take it as it comes and do whatever. I'll be singing to a backing track, so Dave's not playing for me this morning. But the name of the song, as you can see, is up on the board. It is a fairly newish one to me. It's one that's been cropping up a lot lately over the last month or so when I've been listening to things, and I quite like a lot of the words and the lyrics that are in it. So, yes, and I hope you guys like it too. So. I can't hear it.
Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. In the mighty name of
morning. Well, I didn't know where I was going to come in the order of service, and it's come at quite a good point because, and I didn't know, but God moves in mysterious ways. But I love music, and my little bit is about music. I love all sorts of music. I think they say it's eclectic, from classical to ABBA jazz, electronic, and even a bit of dance music. I love having a good sing, but the best place for me to sing, and like Bianca, I'm better in the shower. I'm no singer. I look forward to singing in church, and I really miss this in lockdown and when we came back to church and weren't allowed to sing. I love the old hymns, the ones I remember from my childhood, my grandma's favourite, and my mum's are now mine. But I also enjoy the contemporary worship songs, like the one Bianca sang, because the words are so beautiful. When we prepare the lessons for the Worship Warriors, it's good to find new songs, as well as using the traditional ones. And I love the ones when we sing with Helen with the guitar, and I do miss that. Music in my walk with Jesus is important. Often when life gets tough, not only do I pray, I turn to music. And also my husband listens too, which is a good thing because it introduces worship into my house too. Where the lyrics are often filled with hope and the tunes with passion. Songs are an integral part of what we do here. The worship and diversity of songs available to churches, both in hymn books and online, is ever expanding. We sing to encourage, to build one another up, to worship, and they often provide us with a 3-minute memorable summary of important truths from the scripture. The songs are just important as the message. And I don't know about you, but I often find I'm humming the songs we sang on a Sunday later in the week, probably more than remembering the sermon. According to Google, there are over 400 references to singing in the Bible. I'm not going to go through the 400 now. They help us to understand who God is, but also how we should live. Singing isn't an option in Scripture, it's a command. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I thought I would bring one of the worship songs that I find helpful in my walk. As I said, I love the older ones when we walk with the Lord. That reminds me of trust and faith of my grandma and my mum. I thought I would bring one of the worship songs that I find helpful now. One of my contemporary ones, I don't know whether you know it, it's called The Worship Song, The Battle Belongs by Phil Wickham. It was inspired by 2 Chronicles 20. King Jehoshaphat was facing being attacked by his enemy and was feeling overwhelmed. He turned to God in prayer, seeking guidance and protection. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, who delivered a prophetic message of assurance to the king and to the people of Judah. The message was not to be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, that the battle was not theirs, but it was God's. This assurance led to victory as the enemies turned against each other, and Judah was delivered without having to fight. O God, the battle belongs to you, recurs throughout the song and emphasises God's sovereignty and power. And so do the lines, Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. The next line that's repeated is, and every fear I lay at your feet, reminds us to place our trust on God during challenging times. This song is a message of comfort and courage. In Scripture, God moved on behalf of his people, and God is still battling on behalf of his people. Wherever we're facing and struggle, whatever struggle we're in, God is with us every step of the way. Victory is possible with God by our side. We need only to be still and know that he is God, to turn to him in prayer, lay our fears at his feet, seek his guidance and protection, trusting in the power of God to save, knowing that victory and salvation come from God, not from human effort. This doesn't mean we can just sit back and do nothing. God will do it all. But we should trust and have faith in him. Have a listen at that song. Think about the hymns that help you in your walk.
Hi. When I was reading a book, it really blessed me. And whatever blesses me, I'm sure it will bless you too. And I'd just like to read a little bit of what the author had to say. I used to think that among Jesus' 12 disciples, John was the Lord's favorite disciple and the one who was the closest to him, because the Bible calls John the disciple whom Jesus loved. I was always under the impression that John had a special favor with Jesus, and always wondered what made him so special that he stood apart from the other disciples. So one day, when I was reading God's word, the secret of John's favor dawned on me. The Lord opened my eyes and showed me that the phrase, "the disciple whom Jesus loved," is actually found only in John's own book, the Gospel of John. You will not find this phrase being used in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It is found only in the Gospel of John. And it is a phrase that where John actually describes himself. So now, what was John doing? He was practicing and personalizing the love that Jesus had for him. And the Bible also tells us that we are all God's favorites, not just John. Each and every one of us is a favorite. But John knew the secret of accessing Jesus' unmerited favor for himself. And it is your prerogative and my prerogative too to see ourselves as a disciple whom Jesus loves and to call ourselves just that. I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. So when you're on your daily walk and you're low or you're high, you always can say, "I am the disciple whom Jesus loves." And when Audrey read out the footsteps, it reminded me that, yes, when Jesus carries us, we can say, "I am the disciple whom Jesus loves." So let's say that in the morning and in the evening before you go to bed. I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. Bless you.
And isn't it a good morning that we're all sharing together? All right. My walk with Jesus didn't start really until late in my life. I was young when I was sent to Sunday school. Sometimes later I went to church with my mum. I heard about God and Jesus, but I guess I didn't really take it all in. You know, when you're a child, you don't really bother. I believed there was a God, and it was always him I occasionally actually prayed to. But it was only him I related to, not Jesus. I started to come to this church in 1989, and over the years of listening, reading, and learning about Jesus, I realized I wanted to be a Christian and to follow and walk with him. I have tried to continue that walk as best I can. I have chosen the next hymn, an old Billy Graham Crusade one called "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," which says everything about having Jesus in my life. It'll be up on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we'll take up our free will offering.
Lord, we want to go your way and we want to walk in your way in this church. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm very conscious of the 5 minutes each of us are allowed, so I won't go over it again. I just thought it would be nice to share the creation of my garden with you by letting you see some pictures that Dave has managed to put together with the hymn that I often love to listen to called In the Garden, because like Joyce, I love to listen to my music. I hope you all enjoy seeing the Lord's beautiful creation. Bible reading. Find it. Genesis 1, 11 and 12. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak today. I'm truly happy and grateful that one day I made the decision to come to this church. Since then, I've met such wonderful people who have become very close to my heart. I want to say about myself, my name is Irina. I was born in Moldova, and 20 years ago, and I was just in my second year of university, my cousin married an English woman. At that moment, something in me knew I wanted to move to the UK, but my father strictly forbade me from quitting university. As the eldest daughter, he said I must set a good example. Finish your studies first, he told me, and then you can do what you want. So I did. After I graduated, I came to him again and said, I still want to go to England. But this time, he said, no one will take care of you in England. If you want something, you must achieve it on your own. I spent many years working in a job I didn't enjoy, but the dream never left my heart. Then one day I saw a leaflet for an English club, and that small piece of paper changed my life. I left the job I didn't love, started learning English, and I also began teaching. Eventually, I reached out to my cousin's wife and asked for help with a tourist visa. That was 2021, a difficult year, still full of travel restrictions and quarantine rules. I had to take COVID tests and isolate for 10 days, but I was determined not to postpone my dream anymore. And now we are here in England. We moved to the UK in 2023. This country has welcomed me warmly. I am proud that I passed my UK driving test within my first 6 months here, even though I had never driven before. I also got a job officially after going through a real interview process in English. These things were not easy for me, but I am proud I did them. Right now, we are waiting for our visa to be approved. It's been 4 months already. It's a hard time emotionally. I don't like uncertainty, and at work, I don't feel I can really open up. My team is very young, fresh from university, people with other interests compared to me. I would like to have someone I can truly connect with, a person who understands me, because I am feeling very lonely there. But I am thankful I have a few friends teachers who are kind, supportive, and attentive. And I am especially thankful to be here in this church. I come here to find peace in my heart, to be closer to God, and I know God is always near. God protects us from fear and hardship and gives us the strength to carry on. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's going to be a very short one, I'm afraid. It's been lovely listening to everything. It's a nice change, all being together. When I was asked to say a few words, I thought, a bit of words of encouragement, I decided to explain how I feel about my faith and walk with Jesus. I've always struggled to find the right words, so in the end, I decided to choose a hymn. I've always loved music. It's my way of worshipping and praising God. Being a Christian is not an easy option, or that life won't throw up hard or sad or even things we don't understand. But through it, all I know is I'm loved and accepted, just as I am. So this is why I've chosen hymn number 456, There's a Quiet Understanding, in Songs of Fellowship. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Finally, the first double act. So we've also got something to share with you guys. Obviously, I'm Mandla, you all know me, and this is my wife, who is going to be my helper today. So I'll hand over to you.
I thought I was your helper always.
Of course, yeah.
So Helen told us 5 minutes, but there's two of us, Helen, so it may be 6.5 minutes.
Right, 10. So about 10 minutes.
Okay, so I'm Danai. This is Mandla, as he's already said. We do have a son, Nathan. He's not here. This is obviously for some people who are new to the church. Nathan, when we do see him, he's now at uni, tall. When he's at home, he eats everything in our fridge, but you know, that's what boys are like. So we're originally from Zimbabwe, and we've been coming to, we're talking this morning, actually, when did we come? We obviously looked younger when we started coming to this church. So we're trying to figure out when we actually started coming, and we went by, actually, Nathan was still going into Sunday school, yeah, so he was about 7, 8, and he'll be 21 at the end of this year, so we've been here, yeah, a while, you know? So, yeah, what, 14, 15 years? You wouldn't think it would be that long. So, in terms of, you know, walking with Jesus, you know, the Christian life is a journey, and we can certainly say it's been a journey while we've been in this church, and I'm sure many of you who have been coming to this church for so many years, you know, who are part of that journey have seen us grow in our faith, grow in maturity, and grow in age, and everything. And, you know, we both grew up in Christian families. You know, we would go to church, but church was church. It's good to go to church. It's always, you know what I mean? But I think with the Christian journey, it's a personal relationship with Christ. And, you know, it's, you know, so as a couple, yes, we're journeying as a family, but we've had our own
personal journeys with Christ, and I'm sure you know some of you were there on my baptism a couple of years ago, and then obviously Mandla as well is at his baptism. So we've grown in our walk with Jesus, and it's been amazing being part of this church and just sharing our faith and just being amongst, you know, other believers of similar mind. So it's been really good. Is that enough now? Yeah, so the journey of life is better with Christ. Okay.
So I will be asking my wife to do a reading in a few minutes. So I've got a little story to tell you. Very simple, I know. But we'll make sure we use our 10 minutes anyway. Because, yeah, you have five. You have five, and I've got five as well. Oh, come on. So anyway, I trained as a geography teacher. Secret is out. And I want to talk about hot air. Yeah. There's something, there are concepts about hot air and all, but there's a very simple one, which says, I know it's in science and geography, if you heat a parcel of air, if you heat it, it tends to rise. It will rise because the particles are lighter, they've expanded, and they will rise. Now, I was just thinking as well, how can you actually apply this concept to real-life situations? And it came to my mind that, I don't know, has anyone been in a hot air balloon? Oh, yes. I've never been, but I've noticed when they set the hot air balloon, there's a thing that they pull, and there's a gas, and eventually the balloon expands, and then it starts to rise. So that's application. So we know a parcel of air heated will rise. I've also realized as well, if you open the fridge in the morning, well, any time of the day, really, if you open the door, where do you feel the cold air? Feet, yeah. So what it means then is cold air is very heavy and very dense. There we go. Now, there's also something about rainfall formation. When hot air rises, it will cool down, it will condense, eventually a rainfall. And before I carry on, actually, I'm going to stop here and ask my wife to do a reading.
Okay, so I'm going to read from James chapter 1, and it's verse 19 to 25. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Okay, it's me again with the hot air. Right, so if we're able to apply knowledge and concepts into our daily, you know, lives and all, how wonderful would it be to apply what we read, what we learn, what we believe in our daily lives? So in case you were thinking you're going to get away with it, you're not, because I'm actually going to give you the homework. So the homework is, why can we not apply what we believe in, what we read into our daily lives? I think in anything, when you go to school, when you learn something, one of the most difficult things is to actually apply what you've learned into practice. Theory into practice is always hard. Coming to church, yes, we can all come here, and it shouldn't be a tick box exercise. If we've read, if we've listened, when we go out there, the test is, can you then apply what you've learned into your real life? So if we can apply hot air, if we can understand simple things like that, then I think the most important thing is to then apply this into our daily lives. Thank you.
You know, I know so little on this subject, and Dave knows loads, so he's able to help me, and I've learnt a little bit. But I sometimes listen to a service from another church. I must be honest, I don't usually just sit down and watch and listen to it. It's usually when I'm doing a job in the house, and I put it on at the same time. But instead of me finding this, Dave found this, and he found this two-minute message on YouTube taken from the Easter Sunday morning service at Horsley Park Church. And when you see this person, I think you'll be so pleased to see him. We haven't seen him for a long time, so we'll put it on now.
After Jesus had been crucified and he told me those kind of things, would I sit around in the upper room waiting for him to appear confident in his in the truth of what he said, that he would arise and come back again? But when we read through the accounts in the Gospels, we find the emotions of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, varying from one to the other. And Peter was the, and John were the two that ran to the tomb after they'd been told that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And it says that Peter got there. John got there first, but when Peter went in, he went in as soon, and then John went in. And the Bible says that John believed. He didn't see the body, so he believed what Jesus had said, that he was alive. But one of the Gospels reports and says that Peter went away wondering what had happened. And another one says they still don't understand from the scripture that Jesus needed to rise from the dead. But then in Matthew again we read of the women outside of the tomb weeping because they didn't know where the body of Jesus was. But the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. Go and tell the disciples he is risen. But you know, as I read through these accounts and the emotions and the feelings and the attitudes of those disciples, to me, it encapsulates what it's like to walk the Christian life. Sometimes we wonder what is happening, but we come back to the resurrection day and know that Jesus is alive and promised to walk with us. And we might have tears, we might have doubts, we might wonder what is happening, but we know he's alive and promised to walk with us day by day.
Terry, wasn't it? You know, he's gradually getting better. He's got some new medication to help him on his way at the moment, so he's just started on that. But when Dave showed me, I thought, and he's talking about walking with Jesus, I thought, we need that this morning. So we're just going to pray for Terry now. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are full of gratitude for all who come here to faithfully preach your word. We pray for Terry and Rose and for the encouraging message we've just heard. And Lord, we know that in our walk with you, like it says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, may Terry continue to know your healing power. And Lord, we miss Tony and Owenna Finch, who come here to preach your word as well. And they're not well. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, their health will also soon be restored. We thank you for the friendships that we have with these people. Lord, people that we didn't once know from other churches. But Lord, we just thank you that together we are one in you, no matter where we come from or who we are. And Lord, we just ask these in your wonderful name. Amen. And so we're going to have our last song. We haven't had it for a long time. It's called We'll Walk the Land. It's a very strong song about how we can be as Christians in our walk with Jesus. And then I'll close. Say thank you for all of you who have been here today, and also to all those who have taken part. I heard this the other day. Someone said, our God who walks with us knows the way. And often we don't know the way. We haven't got a clue what the next day is, but God knows. And that's why we follow him. And can I encourage you, if you haven't started your walk with Jesus, it's good to take the first step. Let us pray. In 2 John verse 6 it says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen."